إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our fifth session. And tonight, inshallah, we would like to move to the next question, question 142. And inshallah, question 143. And just to put things in perspective, let us just remind ourselves that what we are talking about in this class is Iman, Al-Iman, faith in Al-Qadr, yani the divine pre-decree, khayrihi wa sharrihi, it's good and it's evil. And this is based, yani upon a chapter in the book of Al-Allama Hafiz Ahmed ibn Ali Al-Hakami, rahimahullah, in his book which he entitled A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura li-Atiqad al-Ta'ifa al-Najiyah al-Mansura. And mashallah, the Shaykh, he has arranged the book in the form of question and answer. And this topic, he has first discussed the levels, the different degrees of Al-Qadr. And he said that it is, the first level is knowledge, the perfect knowledge of Allah in brief. And the second level is the recording, the Kitaba, Al-Kitaba, the recording of that knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possessed of everything that will occur in this world until Yawm al-Qiyamah, and His knowledge is unending. And the third level is the Mashi'ah of Allah, that nothing happens except by the will of Allah. And we said that this Mashi'ah is of two types, and we discussed it previously, and we also have some notes on it. And recently we sent the essay of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, and we hope that if you received it, that you have read it. Indeed, it is of great benefit, of great benefit. MashaAllah, he has summarized it in a few pages and covered everything of importance with clarity and simplicity. And there are other books, yani, that one can read, and we sent a list, a reading recommended, supplementary reading list of some of the books of Aqeedah, some from amongst many, many, many books that are available. And we also gave you the pages where you can find the topic in them, so for easy reference. And one of the books that we mentioned is the book on Al-Qadr by Dr. Salih As-Salih, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him. And that book is one of the comprehensive books that deal with this topic from beginning to end in detail. And some of what we will be talking about in this class tonight and in the weeks to come, he has covered in a great amount of detail. Whoever is able to get that book, either on the internet, if it's available on the internet, probably it is somewhere, or if you can purchase it for a few dollars, it's worth it, no doubt. Before we go on to the question for tonight, question number 142, and inshallah, question 143, I'd like to review question 141, yani what we took from question 141 last week. We have began with question 141, yani in the previous week, and we completed it last week. That is, what is the evidence? ما دليل المرتبة الثانية وهو الإيمان بكتابة المقادير. Yani, what is the evidence for the second level of the levels of faith in Al-Qadr? And this level is what? الإيمان بكتابة المقادير. Yani, believing that everything that has been pre-decreed to happen in this world is written. Believing that it is all written even before it happens. Yani, this is the book that I was referring to finally. The Salaf's Guide to the Understanding of Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, Faith in Islam by Dr. Salih As-Salih. It's an excellent book. Whoever is able to get it, please benefit from this tremendous book. The title in English is The Salaf's Guide. The Salaf's Guide to the Understanding of Al-Qadha wal-Qadr. Fate in Islam. Yani if you just say Fate in Islam by Dr. Salih As-Salih, then you will find it easily, inshallah. And also, The Sharh of Al-Aqidah Wasatiyah by Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiyah. Yani the Sharh of Al-Aqidah Wasatiyah, tremendous, tremendous. This is a book that we refer to a lot, and we always go back to it in every subject in Aqidah. Al-Aqidah Wasatiyah by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. And this explanation is from amongst many, by Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz. Tremendous, tremendous explanation from one of the great scholars of this era. Yani one of the definitely foremost leading scholars and one of the great examples of the way of the Salaf, of the correct aqidah and correct manhaj and character and manners and ibadah and da'wah in every field. May Allah have mercy upon the scholars of Islam, the people of Sunnah. So, as I mentioned, we had begun with question 41 in the previous class, 2 weeks ago. And we took the first few evidences, the evidences for the belief in this, yani martaba al-thaniya, the second level of the levels of al-qadr, that is, that everything is written down, everything is recorded. What are the evidences for this? And 2 weeks ago we mentioned the first two of those evidences from the Quran, and last week we mentioned two more evidences, and the Shaykh mentioned two hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we want to quickly look at those evidences that were mentioned in the class last week, either from the Quran or from the Sunnah. Somebody give me one of them. Yani from as you remember it, yani hopefully you memorized it. If you didn't memorize it, at least give us the meaning. But if you give us the meaning without memorization, make sure you give us the correct meaning. Don't twist the meaning, please. Naam, Ahmed. Naam, Surah to? Naam, Hajj, Naam, 22.
Ayah
70, Naam. 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 What is the meaning of this? Alam ta'alam inna Allah ya'lamu ma fi al-sama'i wal-ard. Inna dhalika fi kitab. Naam.
Do you know that Allah has knowledge of everything in the heavens and earth?
Yeah, do you not know that Allah has knowledge of everything in the heaven and in the earth? Naam. Naam, inna dhalika fi kitab. Indeed, this is recorded in a book. It is recorded. The knowledge of everything. Naam. Naam, and that is easy for Allah. That is easy for Allah. And this expression came in the Quran many times. Inna dhalika ala Allahi yaseer. That's easy for Allah to do this. Even as amazing as it may seem, that everything that's going to happen in the heavens and the earth, to every creature, in every detail, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of this before it happened. And He recorded it. Naam. Another evidence. Naam, Ibrahim. Surah Yasin.
Ayah 12.
36 surah, 12th ayah. Kulla shayin ahsaynahu. Tayyib, what is the meaning?
And everything has been recorded,
enumerated, collected in detail in fi imamin mubin. In a clear, yani imam here means a record, a clear record, kitabun mubin, yani lawh al mahfuz. Naam, lawh al mahfuz. The preserved tablet. Naam. Everything is recorded in the preserved tablet. Naam. What about last week we mentioned two other evidences from the Quran? Naam. Ma'mun. Naam.
Then what is the case of the former generation? The knowledge thereof is with my Lord in a letter, my Lord neither.
Now, what is this reference? What surah? Ayah?
Surah Taha.
Taha, 20th surah? 51st and 52nd ayat. Yani the saying of Fir'aun, la'anatullah alayhi, to Musa alayhi salam, he said, so what is the condition, what is the case of the previous generation? Meaning the people who passed away before and they didn't worship Allah. They did not. So what about them? You know, how did they get away with that? And Musa alayhi salam responded to him by saying that the knowledge of this is with my Rabb in a book. It's all recorded in a book. And my Lord neither errs nor does he forget. He neither errs nor does he forget anything. It's all recorded in the book. And Allah has retained it all. And everyone will be called to account. Naam. And everyone will be called to account. Tayyib. What else? From the Quran or from the Sunnah. Hadith that we mentioned last week. Naam. Salih. Suraqa ibn Malik. Naam. Now, kullun muyassir, in the other narration, kullu amilin muyassarun li amalihi. Now, this hadith is very important hadith, and is the hadith of Suraqa ibn Malik, in which he, radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, yani, make clear to us our deen, as though we were created just now. Yani, make everything crystal clear, clear, simple, easy for us, so that we can understand it. And the thing that he wanted to make clear, that he wanted to ask about, is the deeds of the people. Yani, the deeds that we are doing today. Are they based on what has been written? Yani, that the pen has dried up upon, the pen wrote and finished with it? And the maqadir, the things that are decreed to happen, yani have already gone into motion to be executed, is it based on that? Or is it fi ma nastaqbilu? Yani that which is ahead of us. Yani that what we're doing now is open. We can do whatever. It's not like set, fixed. This is his question. And this is the issue, of course, of the divine pre-decree. Yani if everything is already known by Allah and it's recorded, then aren't people locked into it? Yani this is the question that is confusing for people. Aren't people already then locked into it? Isn't it that they don't have any choice in the matter? In any case, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, it is in accordance with that which the yani jaffat bihi al-aklam, that which the pens have written, recorded, and dried up upon. It's finished. Wajarat bihi al-maqadir, and that which is pre-decreed to occur, yani it has gone into motion. It is like that, yes. So the man said, so then what is the benefit of doing good deeds? Why are we striving and struggling to do all of this? And the Prophet ﷺ's answer to him needs to be examined. And we discussed it in some detail last week. He said to him, اعملوا. If you don't understand this, don't worry about it. Just act, work, get busy. اعملوا. فَقُلٌ مُيَسَّرٌ. For every person will find it made easy for him. And in another narration, كُلُّ عَامِلٍ, every actor, every doer of deeds will find it made easy for him to do his deeds. Yani, for whatever he's destined for. So it is incumbent then for us to obey Allah's commands and to avoid His prohibitions and act and get busy in obedience to Allah and compliance with the deen of Allah. That's what we are responsible for. And it will be made easy for you to do that. If you try to do good, then Allah will make it easy for you. That's what is intended for you. And the people who don't want, they want to do evil, then Allah will make it easy for them to do their deeds that they want to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows that some people are going to comply and some people are not. He already knows that. That doesn't mean that they're forced to do it. Rather, they have free will. Limited free will. They're subject to Allah's will, no doubt. But people have free will, they have knowledge, they know right from wrong, and then they're responsible for the choices that they make. If you obey the commands of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, اعملوا. It will be made easy for you. Then get busy doing that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will make it easy for you. Naam. You will be facilitated to that. And then you will, yani, go your course, and you will earn the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has mercy in His favor. And the other hadith that we mentioned, if anybody remembers, the other hadith, the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu. Naam. We didn't mention that hadith. I mean, that wasn't the hadith that... okay, go ahead, yes. Now.
I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead. Yani he had his head down. He was scraping the ground, making some lines. Naam. Anybody remember the hadith? Naam. Ma min nafsin. Naam. Min al-jannah wal-naar. Yani there is no soul that Allah has given life to that has been born into this world except that Allah has recorded, has already written its place. Min al-jannati wal-naar. From the paradise and the hellfire. Allah has already written his place. Naam. And he also said in the end of the hadith, قَدْ قُطِبَتْ شَقِيَةً أَوْ سَعِيدَةً. Yani it's already been written that this person is going to be from those who are wretched, miserable, unfortunate, the people who end up in the hellfire. Or Sa'ida, he will be of those who are fortunate, who will be happy, who will be blessed, yani who will end up in the paradise. This has already been recorded. And again, brothers and sisters, these hadith are of the utmost importance. We are taking some time to discuss each hadith in some detail, because of the importance of it. It's incumbent upon us to pay attention to it. I don't know if this is... Okay. To take the matter seriously and to read the other sources, because this book is a summary book. And even though we are giving some extra explanation to it from what the scholars have said about these ayahs from the Quran or these hadith, nonetheless it still requires our full attention. And whoever understands it well, inshallah, they will benefit tremendously, and whoever doesn't understand it, it will be to their own loss. In any case, this is what we mentioned last week, and today we'd like to go to the next question, which is question number 142. Question number 142, the author, rahimahullah, he says, كَمْ يَدْخُلْ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَرْتَبَةِ مِنْ الْمَقَادِيرُ. Yani, which martaba are we talking about? The second martaba, the second level. That is, the recording, the writing, that everything that is in Allah's knowledge of what will happen, it is recorded. So he said, how many types of the taqadir, yani, that which Allah has measured or fixed for His creatures concerning the matters of their life? How many types of these, yani, matters that have been fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, decided and recorded, are in this martaba of qadr, yani related to the writing of deeds? How many types of writing takes place? And then he says, يَدْخُلْ فِي ذَلِكَ خَمْسَةٌ مِنَ التَّقَادِيرُ كُلُّهَا تَرْجِعُ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ. Yani that there are five types of taqadir or taqdir, yani divinely pre-decreed matters that must occur. There are five types that come under this level of recording, of writing, and all of it goes back to al-ilm. All of it goes back to what? The knowledge of Allah. Every type of writing that is mentioned, it all goes back to the knowledge of Allah. It's based on Allah's knowledge. And the first one he mentions, al-taqdir al-awwal, the first pre-decree. Kitabatu thalika qabla khalqi samawati wal-ard bi khamsina alfa sanatin عندما خلق الله القلم. وَهُوَ التَّقْدِيرُ الْأَزَلِي. Yani the first type of pre-decree that has been recorded is the writing of that, of what will take place. That writing was took place before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Yani by 50,000 years. Yani 50,000 years before Allah created the heavens and the earth, this, all of this was recorded. It was written down. At the time when Allah created the pen. Yani when was it written down? At the time when Allah created the pen. Yani Allah knew this before He created the pen. But when He created the pen, then it was written. He ordered the pen to write it, and that's when it was written. But as far as the knowledge of Allah, it was already known to Allah. Yani this is at-taqdir al-azali. Yani the eternal pre-decree. The writing of the eternal pre-decree. At-thani, the second one, at-taqdir al-umri. Yani the lifetime, the pre-decreed recording of what would take place in a person's lifetime. Hina akhadha al-mithaq. Yani at the time when the covenant was taken from all the human beings, the children of Adam alayhi salam. At the time when the mithaq, the covenant, was taken from the human beings. Yawma alastu bi rabbikum. Yani the day when it is recorded in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the people, Alastu bi Rabbikum, and am I not your Rabb? And they said, Bala, of course, Naam. They admitted, they acknowledged, and this is a proof against them, or it came before them, if they acknowledge it and live by it and act upon what is required of them. Yani this is the second type of recording, At-Taqdeer al-Umri, the lifetime pre-decree. Al-Thalith, the third one is At-Taqdeer al-Umri, Aydan. It is also a lifetime pre-decreed recording, in the Takhliq al-Nutfa fi al-Rahim. Yani that is at the time when the Nutfa, yani the mixing of the male and female fluids, came together in the Nutfa. And that Nutfa was in the womb of the mother. At that time, there was also a decree. Yani there was also a writing of a decree. And these both are referred to as At-Taqdeer al-Umri, yani lifetime. One, at the time when the covenant was taken, when all of the descent, all of the children of Adam were taken from his loins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed them to all human beings. And then the second one, also lifetime pre-decree, is at the time of the recording that takes place when the in the womb of the mother, when the yani sperm and the female fluids meet and form yani the beginning of the birth. الرابع التقدير الحولي الحولي يعني the fourth type of pre-decree is the annual pre-decree في ليلة القدر يعني that takes place in the night of Qadr, the night of Qadr that is in Ramadan, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And that night every year there's also a writing that takes place, and all of this the Shaykh discussed in detail in the future questions يعني one by one. And the fifth type is At-Taqdeer Al-Yawmi, yani the daily pre-decree recording yani that takes place. Wahuwa, actually it is Tanfiz Kulli Dhalika ila Mawadi'ihi, yani it is the execution, the carrying out of all of these things that I mentioned previously in detail, the carrying out of each of these things at its time and place and in the manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew it would be and had it recorded. Yani the execution of it. And that's the end of the answer that the Shaykh gave. And I just, for benefit, I just want to read from one of the students of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, Shaykh Abdul Salam Burgess, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him, who died very young, but he, mashallah, left a wealth of yani knowledge that he received from his Shaykh, our Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz. And the Shaykh, he says, in discussing this topic of these types of decrees, he mentions each of them and something about them. And that book is Al-Mu'taqid Al-Sahih. Yani the book that it came in, Al-Mu'taqid Al-Sahih. Yani the correct creed by Shaykh Abdul Salam Burgess. And it is available in English. And he says, at the end of the discussion of these five types of recordings, he said, فَالتَّقْدِيرُ الْيَوْمِي, yani the daily taqdeer, تفصيل من تقدير الحولي. It is the details of the annual decree. يعني التقدير اليومي is the details of التقدير الحولي, the annual decree. والحولي تفصيل من التقدير العمري in the تخليق النطفة. And the annual decree is the details that are from the lifetime decree at the time when the life is given in the womb. وَالْعُمْرِ, يعني he means here the first تقدير العمري, تفصيل, يعني this عمري, يعني the one at the time of the life being given birth in the womb of the mother, it is the تفصيل from التقدير العمري الأول يوم الميثاق, يعني meaning that this يعني تقدير, at the time when birth is given to in the womb of the mother and the writing of that person's يعني what their lifespan will be and their provisions and their deeds and their destination, when that takes place, that writing is the details of the previous lifetime decree that took place at the time when all the children Adam were taken from Adam's loins and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, Alastu bi Rabbikum, and they give the covenant to obey Allah and to worship Him. This one is the details of that one. And fourth, he says, يعني, that التقدير العمر الأول, يعني at the time on the day of the covenant, it is the tafsil or the details from التقدير الأزلي, يعني the eternal تقدير, يعني that this one, it is, يعني the one on the day of the ميثاق, يعني the covenant, it is the details of the eternal pre-decree الذي خطه القلم في الإمام المبين. يعني it is the details of the eternal pre-decree which was written by the pen in al-Imam al-Mubin. يعني Imam al-Mubin, the clear Imam, meaning Umm al-Kitab, the mother of the book, or Law al-Mahfuz. And then he says, وَالْإِمَامُ الْمُبِينُ هُوَ عِلْمُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And the clear book, يعني اللوح المحفوظ, the Umm al-Kitab, it is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني it is based upon Allah's knowledge of everything. Okay, after this, we go to the next question, question 143. And question 143, the Shaykh, he says, ما دليل التقدير الأزلي? يعني what is the دليل? What is the evidence for التقدير الأزلي? يعني the divine pre-decree which Allah wrote 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. Yani the eternal pre-decree. What is the evidence for this first type of recording? And he says, yani he brings the evidence from the Quran, from Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, 22nd Ayat. And he brings also three hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As far as the ayah from the Quran, Surah Al-Hadid, 57:22. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبَرَأَهَا. That's how the Shaykh narrated it. And the end of the hadith, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Yani, the Shaykh didn't mention this part of the ayah, but of course we want to mention it, because what? It is, like we said, is coming again and again and again. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. Yani nothing befalls you of the things that befall the created beings in this world. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ. There is no musibah, no thing that befalls you in the earth, nor in yourselves, within yourselves. إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ. Except that it is already recorded in a book. مِن قَبَلِي أَن نَبَرَأَ. Before we bring it into being, before we execute it and make it happen. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. And that, indeed, that is easy for Allah. It's easy for Allah to know all of this. Yani everything that befalls the creatures, to have it recorded in a book, that's easy for Allah. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah says in his tafsir of this ayat, يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَى عَنْ قَدَرِهِ السَّابِقِي فِي خَلْقِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَبَرَأَ الْبَرِيَّةِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, He is informing about His qadr, as-sabiq, yani His previous decreeing, His pre-decree concerning His creatures before He brought the creatures into existence. Before He brought them into existence. That He had made a pre-decree. And He says the meaning of يعني ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم, that nothing befalls you, no calamity befalls you, affliction or anything, nothing befalls you in the earth or in yourselves, meaning in the remote regions of the lands or in the earth, or inside of your own selves. Nothing happens outside or inside of you except that it is recorded in a book before we bring it into being, meaning before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before He created the created beings and before He gave them life. And He brought them into this world and put life into their bodies. And some of the scholars, Hafiz ibn Kathir mentioned some of the scholars that they gave to this, min qabli an nabara'aha, before we Yani brought it into being. They said some of it means before we brought the nufus, the souls of the people into being. And some of them said, Aidun ala al-musiba, that it means before we executed the things that would befall them, before we made it happen. And he said that al-ahsan auduhu ala al-khaliqa wal-bariya. That what is better is that we say, yani that the pronoun here, min qabli an nabara'aha, the ha here, Yani it refers back to the created beings before Allah brought them into being, the creatures before He gave them life. And this is what is more yani indicated in the wording itself, as Al-Imam Al-Tabari, Ibn Jarir Al-Tabari says, rahimahullah. Then the Shaykh Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir mentions yani a narration from Mansur Ibn Abdul Rahman. He said, Kuntu jalisan ma'a Hassan. Yani Hassan Al-Basri, Al-Hassan Al-Basri. He said, we were sitting with Al-Hassan Al-Basri, rahimahullah. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ سَلْهُ عَنْ قَوْلِهِ. Yani one of the people sitting there said, ask him about the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani this ayat, مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ. فَسَأَلْتُهُ عَنْهَا. So I asked him about this ayat. فَقَالَ Al-Hassan Al-Basri, Subhanallah. Yani Subhanallah. وَمَنْ يَشِكُّ فِي ذَلِكَ. Yani, is there anyone who doubts this? That everything that happens in the earth that Allah has already recorded it? Is there anyone that doubts? He says, Subhanallah. Does anybody doubt this? And this is something that, khalas, it's well known, it's established, there's no doubt about it, it's a fact. Does anybody doubt this? كُلُّ مُصِيبَةٍ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَفِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مِنْ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَبْرَأَ النَّسَمَى. Indeed, everything that falls between the heavens and the earth, then it is in the book of Allah before Allah gives life to the creatures. And then he mentions some other sayings, yani concerning yani the ayat, different opinions that yani all basically are not, none of them are contradictory. Other views. And then he says, yani Hafiz ibn Kathir says, وَهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ مِنْ أَدَلِّ دَلِيلٍ عَلَى الْقَدَرِيَّةِ نفات العلم السابق قبحهم الله قبحهم الله. Yani that this noble ayat is from the most clearest of evidences against the Qadariyya, the people who deviated in this issue, who claimed yani they negated, they denied the al-ilm al-sabiq, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of everything before it happens. They denied this tremendous deviation. So Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, he made dua against them. قَبَّحَهُمُ اللَّهِ. I don't know what is the intended meaning, I'm not sure. But yani, it means literally, may Allah make them ugly. Yani, disgrace them, defame them. Yani, whatever, punish them. After this, he mentions a narration from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. And we're going to discuss this narration yani, in the hadith that are coming. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions this narration, but the wording that he mentions here is different than the Shaykh mentioned, and he's slightly different. Yani, in the wording of this hadith, he says, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ الْمَقَادِرُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةِ. That Allah has decreed, قَدَّرَ. He has decreed the pre-decrees before He created the heavens and the earth by 50,000 years. And in another narration that Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions from this hadith that's reported by Al-Imam Muslim, the wording is in Sahih Muslim, وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And we're going to come to this hadith. Yani that Allah created, I mean He decreed, pre-decreed everything that's going to happen 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And at that time, Allah's arsh was above the water. His arsh was above the water. This narration is a narration reported by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih. One of the narrations in Sahih Muslim. And then finally, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says, and this is a beautiful saying that I was looking for a long time, and I couldn't find it. I didn't remember where I read it at. And this is one of the things that the scholars have taught us, and our teachers taught us, that when you come across a benefit, write it down. Get a notebook and write down your benefits. Whatever it is, whether it's in fiqh, or hadith, or aqidah, or whatever. Maybe you might have a book for all of them or a separate book for each one. It is of great benefit. I myself applied this. I remember when Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, at the end of the second year in the College of Hadith, he was teaching us Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, and he told us, write down the benefits that you find, and later, years later, you will go back and look at that, and you'll be amazed at what you have collected, that you have forgotten. And he used to do that, and some of the students asked him, well, where's your book? And they borrowed it from him, and they typed it up, and they printed it. Naam, subhanAllah. His notes, I mean the points that he brought out from the explanation of Bukhari from Fathul Bari, when he was teaching Fathul Bari in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid. In any case, Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir says, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَصِيرٌ. Indeed, this, the knowledge of and the recording of everything that befalls in the earth, in the heavens or on the earth for any creature, the doing of this is easy for Allah. Meaning, that his, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of everything before, قَبْلَ قَوْنِهَا, before it came into existence. وَكِتَابَتُهُ لَهَا تَبْقَى مَا يُوجَدُ فِي حِينِهَا. And the writing of this, of all of these things, in exact perfect accordance to how it would occur at its appropriate time. This is sahlun ala Allah. This is very easy for Allah Azza wa Jalla. لِأَنَّهُ يعني لِأَنَّهُ because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَعْلَمُ مَا كَانَ. He knows whatever happened in the past. وَمَا يَكُونُ and everything that will happen in the future. وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَوْ كَانَ كَيْفَ كَانَ يَكُونُ وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ and that which did not happen, will not happen. لَوْ كَانَ if it were to happen, he knows كَيْفَ كَانَ يَكُونُ how it will be, how it would happen. That which is not going to happen. If it were to happen, Allah knows how it would have happened, if it would happen. Now, this is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows everything that happened, everything that will happen, and everything that will not happen, if it were to happen, how exactly how it would occur. After this, yani the Imam Ibn Kathir mentions the tafsir of the ayah following this, which, yani for the sake of time, we won't discuss it, but yani whoever can go back to the ayah that follows this, لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَهُ بِمَا أَتَاكُمْ. And this, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informing us about this, about His pre-decree and His knowledge of this, and so on, of all of these things. And he says, it's so that a person would not grieve over that which passed them by, nor would they rejoice and be proud over that which comes to them or is given to them. And this is a very important benefit from the benefits of believing in Al-Qadr. The Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentioned in the beginning, in the first class that we had, he said, what are the benefits of believing in Qadr? And one of those benefits is based on this ayat here. That is, or two of those benefits, that a person would not grieve over that which passed them by, that they wanted, because they know it's by Allah's decree. And they couldn't have gotten it. And likewise, if someone is given, if good comes to a person, they will not become proud over it. Yani arrogant over other people because they have something other people don't have, because they know also that this is all by Allah's pre-decree and ikrima. I'll just mention this one point because it's a long discussion here. He says, لَيْسَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يَفْرَهُ وَيَحْزَنُ. There's no person except that he rejoices and grieves. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that He has informed us of this so that people will not grieve over that which passed them by. Nor will they rejoice over that which is given to them. And Ikrimah, rahimahullah, he said, there is no person except that they rejoice and that they grieve over what happens to them. وَلَكِنْ اِجْعَلُوا الْفَرَحْ شُكْرًا وَالْحُزْنَ صَبْرًا. But rather, what you should do, that which comes to you that would make you rejoice, yani make your rejoicing shukran to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani gratitude. Yani your happiness, transform it into gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And make your huzn, your sadness or grief, sabran. Yani transform it into patience so that you earn the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the authentic hadith, he said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. That amazing is the affair of the believer. His affair, the whole of it is good for him. إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّا شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّا صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. وَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. Tremendous, tremendous hadith. I wish that we could yani explain, yani see what the scholars have said about this. Amazing is the affair of the believer. Indeed, the whole of his affair is good for him. If he is afflicted, if good comes to him, then he shakara. He is thankful and therefore it's good for him. As opposed to the person who receives good and is not grateful. That would not be good for them because they would be called to account for that. Because of what? The obligation of shukr that they didn't fulfill. That will bring punishment to them. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّا and if harm comes to them, صَبَرَ. So he is patient. This is the condition of the believer. He is patient when this affliction befalls him. فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. So even that affliction, that calamity, a sickness, whatever loss, it becomes good for him. Why? Because through his patience, he is given the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And this is not the condition, this is not the case of anyone except for the believer. That the believer is between these two conditions of shukr, gratitude and sabr, patience. And some of the scholars have written books about this. Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah has written about it, Ibn Qayyim has written about it, and many other scholars have written on the topic of the condition of the believer between ash-shukr wa sabr. This is the real condition of the believer. This is not going to be so that everything that happens to them is going to be good for them except for the believer. Because the believer is the one, when good comes to them, they show their appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when harm comes to them, they are patient with it. And also, I wanted to read the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. Subhanallah, it's so beautiful. And whoever can go back to it, please read it. He mentioned a lot of beautiful points, but we don't have time tonight. So I will go to the hadith, and we have three hadith and a lot of discussion concerning them. So I will summarize as best I can so that we can complete them. The first hadith, the Shaykh says, وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ يعني in the Sahih of Imam Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ مَقَادِرُ الْخَلَائِقِ. And in the narration that we mentioned from the tafsir, he said, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ الْمَقَادِرُ قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ. Here he said, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ مَقَادِرُ الْخَلَائِقِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ قَالَ وَأَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And in one of the narrations, Sahih Muslim, he said, وَكَانَ أَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And that is more clear than this narration here. And both of them have the same meaning, and Allah knows best. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written the maqadir, everything that is pre-decreed to occur for all of the creatures before He created, 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. He said, وَأَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And perhaps this wow here is wow al-hal, meaning, yani that He created, or He decreed everything that would happen 50,000 years before He created the heavens and earth, while His arsh, at that time when this was recorded, while His arsh was above the water. Reported by Imam Muslim, At-Tirmidhi, Ahmed and others. Imam Muslim mentions this hadith with another chain also, that is slightly different, except that it doesn't mention at the end of it, وَأَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And His arsh was above the water. In one of the narrations, not mentioned, in the other one, it is. The scholars say concerning this, what is intended here? That Allah wrote, had written the pre-decrees of all of the creation 50,000 years before He created the heavens and earth. It means, تَحْدِيد وَقْتَ الْكِتَابَ فِي اللَّهُ الْمَحْفُوظِ لَا أَصْلُ التَّقْدِيرِ. It means that this writing 50,000 years before the creation of heavens and earth, meaning that He is identifying the time in which the writing took place in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. Not the actual time of the pre-decree. The pre-decree is before that. But what this hadith is talking about, what? Is when the pre-decree was written. It was written 50,000 years before Allah created the heavens and earth. Otherwise, Allah had pre-decreed it, yani from eternity. Because that pre-decree, فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ أَزَلِي لَا أَوَّلَ لَهُ. Yani it is eternal, it has no beginning. It was from the beginning, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even before He recorded it, He had already decided. And He's saying, وَعَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ أَيْ قَبْلَ خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Yani His arsh was upon the water before the creation of the heavens and the earth, and Allah knows best. Yani He says, and Allah knows best, meaning that indicating that there's some difference of opinion about this, was the arsh already in existence before Allah created the pen? Was it already in existence, as this narration suggests? Or was the pen the first thing that was created from created things, and then after that the arsh? There's difference of opinion about it, and the strong opinion is that the arsh was already there. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And His, at that time, and His arsh was above the water. And this is one of the narrations in Sahih Muslim, وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. Al-Allama ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says in Shifa' al-Alil, the first chapter concerning Taqdeer al-Maqadir, before Allah created the heavens and earth. And he discussed this in some detail. From amongst that which he mentions is the hadith of Abdul ibn Amr ibn al-As that the Shaykh has mentioned here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written the pre-decrees of everything 50,000 years before He created the heavens and earth, and His arsh was above the water, reported by Muslim in his Sahih. He said, Ibn Qayyim says, rahimahullah, وَفِيهِ دَلِيلْ عَلَى أَنَّ خَلْقَ الْأَرْشِ سَابِقٌ عَلَى خَلْقَ الْقَلَمِ. This is the issue that I hinted at just now, I mentioned. Yani in this narration is a dalil. that the creation of the arsh preceded the creation of the pen. Preceded the creation of the pen. And he says, وَهَذَا أَصَّحُ الْقَوْلَيْنِ. And this is the more correct of the two views of the scholars. Yani that the arsh was before the pen. And then Ibn Qayyim mentions some narrations from amongst the narration of Ibadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, when he said to his son, advising him at the time of his death, and from amongst that which he said to him, he mentioned the next hadith that the Shaykh mentions, that is, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهِ الْقَلَمْ قَالَ لَهُ أُكْتُبْ. Yani that when Allah first created the pen, He said to it, write, to the end of the hadith that we're going to mention. And what I want to mention here is Ibn Qayyim mentioned in the statement of Ibadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, when he said to his son, Ya Bunayya, سَمِئْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى غَيْرِ هَذَا فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. That he said to his son, O my dear son, Ya Bunayya, I heard from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, him saying, whoever dies on other than this, yani believing in this pre-decree, divine pre-decree, al-qadr, whoever dies, man mata ala ghayri hada, falaysa minni, then he is not from me. I have nothing to do with him, he has nothing to do with me. And this narration, yani, of Ibadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, the Shaykh mentions second, as the second evidence concerning the writing, qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna awwala ma khalaqa Allah al-qalam, فَقَالَ لَهُ أُكْتُبْ فَقَالَ رَبِّي مَاذَا أَقْتُبْ قَالَ أُكْتُبْ مَقَادِرْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى تَقُومَ السَّاعَةُ الْحَدِيثِ فِي السُّنِنِ. Yani that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when Allah first created the pen, He said to it, write. And it said, Oh my Rabb, what shall I write? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the pen, write the pre-decrees of everything that will take place, hatta taqum as-sa'a, until the establishment of the hour of judgment. And he said this hadith is in the Sunan, and it is in fact in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, and it is also reported by Imam Ahmed and Abu Dawood and others, and Shaykh al-Albani in Silsila al-Hadith al-Sahiha said that this hadith is at least Hasan, and due to the other supporting narrations. Again, Al-Allama ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, in Shifa' al-Aleel, in this chapter dealing with Qadr, he says, yani from amongst the statements that he makes here of great importance that we want to just yani share, is, he said, كِتَابَةُ الْقَلَمْ لِلْقَدْرِ كَانَ فِي السَّاعَةِ الَّتِي خُلِقَ فِيهَا. Yani that the writing of the pen of the pre-decrees was at the very hour in which the pen was created. Yani when Allah created the pen, it began writing. Yani Allah created the pen, and he ordered it to write, and he said, what shall I write? And Allah told him what to write, and it wrote. Yani this writing took place at the same time that Allah created the pen. كِتَابَةُ الْقَلَمْ لِلْقَدْرِ, the writing of the pre-decrees, كَانَ فِي السَّاعَةِ الَّتِي خُلِقَ فِيهَا. Yani it was at the same time in which the pen was created. And here Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, mentions the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit, and he mentions from what he said to his son, يعني يا بنيّ, إني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن أول ما خلق الله تعالى القلم ثم قال أكتب. In this narration he says, يعني when Allah first created the pen, He said to it, write. فجرى في تلك الساعة بما هو كائن إلى يوم القيامة. So it began to flow, it began to write, it proceeded to write at that very hour, whatever was going to occur up until يوم القيامة. And here he said, it is reported that he said to his son, يا بنية, إن مت أو مت ولست على ذلك دخلت النار. Oh my dear son, if you die and you are not upon that, you will have entered the hellfire. If you die and you are not upon this belief, you will have entered the hellfire. And Al-Hasan al-Basri said, what? Subhanallah. Is there anybody that doubts this? Is there any person that doubts this? If they do, they will be lost, as any we found from different various narrations. And then Ibn Qayyim says, وَهَذَا الَّذِي كَتَبَهُ قَلَمْ هُوَ الْقَدْرِ. And that which the pen wrote is the qadr. That's exactly what it wrote. And in one of the narrations, yani the same hadith is reported that the pen said, يَا رَبْ مَاذَا أَقْتُبْ, what shall I write? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الْقَدْرِ, yani write the qadr. And the third hadith, and in the adhan is upon us, the third hadith, inshallah, we'll listen to the adhan and then we'll finish the hadith. The third hadith and the last evidence that the Shaykh mentions related to the writing. The writing. He says, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أبا هريرة جف القلم بما هو كائن. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, O Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه جف القلم بما هو كائن. That the pen has dried with that which will occur. يعني it has dried after writing everything that will occur. والحديث في البخاري وغير ذلك كثير. And this hadith is in Bukhari, in the book of Qadr. And there are other many, many evidences other than this. Yani here, in reference to this hadith, is recorded by Bukhari in the book of Qadr, in the bab, جف القلم على علم الله. Yani that the pen has dried up after writing from the knowledge of Allah. Writing that which is based upon the knowledge of Allah. Writing everything that would take place that came from the knowledge of Allah. This bab, جف القلم, it means فرغت الكتاب. جف القلم, the pen dried, means this is, يعني the meaning of it is that the writing was finished. It was through with the writing. And this is an ishara. And Hafiz, he says, this is ishara. يعني it is an indirect indication, pointing to الذي قتب في اللوح المحفوظ لا يتغير حكمه. Yani that which is written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, this is that the pen dried, it dried up, this is an indication that which is written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, its ruling will not be changed. Plus, it's final. It's final, it's finished. It will not be changed. لا يتغير. فهو كناية عن الفراغ من الكتابة. Yani it is an indirect pointing to the, yani being complete, the finishing of the writing. And this is because the paper at the time when the writing is taking place is moist, or at least some of it. And likewise, the pen while it is writing is moist, and if the writing is finished, جفت الكتاب والقلم, then the writing, يعني, dries up, and the pen also dries up. And then he says, يعني, further on, there's a long discussion, وفيه إشارة, يعني, in it is another إشارة, إلى أن كتابة ذلك انقضت من أمد بعيد. Yani there's also an indication in this that it dried up, that this writing, yani was finished, completed, it terminated, it ceased. Min amadin ba'idin, from a long time ago, long time ago. And then he says, yani he mentions the saying of al-Iyad, yani al-Qadi Iyad, rahimahullah. He said the meaning of jaff al-qalam, yani the meaning of the drying up of the pen. And this came in a lot of hadith, and he mentioned some of them. The meaning of the drying of the pen, A, لم يقتب بعد ذلك شيئاً. Yani that after that, it didn't write anything. That pen which wrote the pre-decrees, when it finished and it dried up, this is an indication that what? That it finished and it didn't write anything after that. And then he says, the writing of Allah and His lawh, the lawh al-mahfuz, and His qalam, من غيبه ومن علمه الذي يَلْزَمُنَا لِمَانْ بِهِ. Yani that the writing and the lawh, the preserved tablet and the pen is from the unseen things of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the knowledge, His knowledge. Yani the final point that we want to make here is the saying of Al-Qadi Iyad rahimahullah, that the meaning of the drying of the pen, it means that it didn't write anything after that. And that these matters, the writing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the lawh al-mahfuz and the qalam, is from the unseen matters. And it is from His knowledge, which we are obligated to have iman in. Yeah, and it's from the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us something about, that we are obligated, yani lazim, to have iman in this. وَلَا يَلْزَمُنَا مَعْرِفَةُ صِفَتِهِ. But we are not obligated to know the how of it, exactly how these things are, how they happen. What we are obligated is to believe in them, that there is a lawh, that there is a qalam, that there is kitab and so on. These things that have been mentioned, that these are a reality, these things are real, and exactly the how of them, the nature of them, the reality of them is known only to Allah. Yani what we are required is to yani understand when we write something and we finish writing, what does that mean? Yani it means that, yani when we say the pen dried up, it means that it became dry, meaning that we are no longer in need of it. Yani it's finished. Its job is done. That's the meaning of this. Yani the job is done. And then the Imam mentions here yani other narrations that are similar to this, that have the same meaning, that the matter is finished, that it has ceased, that it is completed, it is concluded, it is terminated, and there will be no change in it. From amongst the narrations, he said, وَقَعَ لَفْظ جَفَّ الْقَلَمْ أَيْضًا فِي حَدِيثِ جَابِرِ. In the hadith of Jabir, and the Muslim, in Sahih Muslim, the hadith that we mentioned last week, قَالَ سُرَاقَ يعني سُرَاقَ ابْنِ مَالِكَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ أَنْهُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فِي مَا الْعَمَلِ أَفِي مَا جَفَّتْ بِهِ الْأَكْلَامُ وَجَرَّتْ بِهِ الْمَقَادِرِ. Yani in this narration also the wording came, the drying of the pen. Is our actions that we are doing now based upon فِيمَا جَفَّتْ بِالْأَقْلَامِ, that which the pens have dried up upon? And in another narration in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, الَّذِي فِيهِ اِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ يَحْفَظُكَ. Yani protect and preserve Allah's rights and obligations and rules and guidance, and Allah will protect and preserve you. In some of the turuq of this hadith, it said, جَفَّتْ الْأَكْلَامْ وَطُوِيَتْ الصُّحُفْ. Yani that the pens have dried up, and the suhuf, the scrolls, have been rolled up. Yani the matter is finished. And likewise, وَفِي حَدِيثِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ إِبْنِ جَعْفَرْ and the Tabarani, yani, and the Tabarani mentions this hadith, the wording of it, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْقَلَمْ أَنَّ الْقَلَمْ وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْقَلَمْ قَدْ جَفَّ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنْ. Know that the pen has dried up with that everything that will occur. And then he mentions the narration of Hassan ibn Ali and Al-Furyabi. Yani he's saying, رضي الله عنه, رُفِيَ الْكِتَابِ وَجَفَّ الْقَلَمْ. Yani that the book has been raised up and the pen has dried, and all of these narrations give us the meaning of yani the finality of the matter, that the matter has been decided, it is finished, and it is upon us to believe as such and to act upon the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Know with certainty that Allah has knowledge of everything that is going to happen before it happens, and He has recorded it, and then He has commanded us to obey certain commands, and He has prohibited us from certain matters, so it is upon us to execute the commands of Allah. And if we attempt to do that sincerely for the sake of Allah, then we will be facilitated in doing, it will be made easy for us to do the things that have been pre-decreed. And we have a choice to obey Allah and receive His reward. And they have a choice to disobey Allah and receive His punishment. And we seek refuge in Allah from being amongst those people. May Allah help us to be obedient to Him. May Allah help us to be obedient to Him, because we are in need of Allah's help. May Allah purify our hearts and make our intentions sincere in whatever we do, that we do it for the sake of Allah. And that is critical for us, that we try to do whatever we do for the sake of Allah. And we try to do whatever we do correctly, properly, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that we realize that if we are successful in doing good, it is by the favor and mercy of Allah. It is by the favor and mercy of Allah. So no one should become proud and feel that they are better than other people. Rather, we should feel humbled and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us tawfiq. Because there is no one who is able to do good except that it is from the help of Allah. So if a person does good, and that's what we should be striving to do, then this is by Allah's decree, and it is His favor and His mercy. And therefore a person has to be grateful, has to be thankful. And gratitude is something that if it is really in the heart, it will be expressed not only on the tongue, but in actions. It will be expressed in actions. It means that we will try harder to be obedient to Allah and to avoid His disobedience. And we will use whatever He has given us in the way that is pleasing to Him. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question, we have just a couple of moments. If there's any question about what we discussed here, naam. Fadl. Shifa al-Alil. Shifa al-Alil. Naam. Yani the cure, the healing of yani the defects or sickness. Naam. Naam, akhi. Allah mahfuz. Naam. Naam.
Because of
نعم. إلى تقوم الساعة. نعم. That's how the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said it. Until the hour is established. نعم. يعني anything before that is not in there. And anything after that is not in there. It's with Allah. نعم. نعم عبد الرحمن. I don't know. I don't recall seeing it. Allahu a'lam. I really don't know. But I don't remember seeing it. I doubt it. Because it would be probably known to us. And we would have heard about it. Any other question or comment? طيب. جزاكم الله خير وبارك الله فيكم. نعم.